your quartz crystal watch on your wrist runs more slowly. Well, probably, certainly, I guess, not by an amount that you could measure on that watch, but with an atomic clock you can measure it fairly easily by comparing the ticks of the atomic clock with the ticks of a distant pulsar. In this case, preferably not a binary pulsar, because that's extra complications you don't want to be bothered with. And the reason why it happens when the moon is full is because at that time the Earth is a little closer to the sun. Sun, Earth, moon are lined up, that's why the moon is full. Earth's a little closer to the sun, therefore somewhat deeper in the gravitational potential of the sun. And one of the other predictions of relativity is that there should be a gravitational redshift, as it's called, which thereby slows down all of the clocks in that gravitational region.
Including the atomic clocks.
Including the atomic clocks, absolutely. It would not agree with ours. And of course, that's one of the fundamental underpinnings of all of relativity, that neither time nor space coordinates, as we ordinarily think of them in our slow motion, weak gravitational field approximation where we live our lives, neither of time nor space is really an absolute thing. And they all get mixed up in the four-dimensional space-time of relativity.
Other questions? Yes,
Paul.
Well, it's interesting, actually. There isn't an atomic clock that is used in the experiment. There are a whole slew of them. There is, at Arecibo Observatory, and at most modern radio or even optical observatories, a good standard of time. At Arecibo, it's one that's made with rubidium atoms in it, and it's accurate to about 1 microsecond per day, 1 millionth of a second per day. Now, I said the best clocks are good to more like 1 millionth of a second per year, and those are very expensive. In fact, no single atomic clock is really that good. The best stability is acquired not from single ones, but from whole roomfuls of them, which are averaged together, and the ones that don't agree very well are disregarded, and the rest of them sort of averaged together, in effect, define what time it is, according to our civil timekeeping systems. What we do have now is, and only fairly recently, since 1984, is the ability to transfer time from the world's best timekeeping centers, such as that at the National Bureau of Standards in Boulder, or the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, and there are a handful of other comparable ones around the world. We can transfer time from any of those laboratories to Arecibo or other places that have bothered to acquire a receiver that can pick up signals from the so-called Global Positioning System satellites, which the Pentagon maintains for us and for themselves for transferring time and coordinate information around the Earth.
Other questions? Tommy?
I don't want to have a question. I just want to say that in this precision of timekeeping, what should be emphasized, and Joe Taylor has not adequately emphasized, is the fantastic precision that the pulsars have given us. Here we have objects at distances three-quarters across, more than that, across the dimensions of our galaxy, 20,000-30,000 light years away, and we would see if their sizes, which are of the order of 10 kilometers across, would change by 1 micron. Now that's a thing to, you know, to sort of hit home. 10^-4 of a centimeter. If they were to shrink by that amount, Joe Taylor would know it. You know, it's such a fantastic and unbelievable thing that this precision is possible.
There have been the occasional times when indeed we thought something like that must have happened, because the telescope was turned on and the signal was acquired and it did not arrive at the time expected. You can predict in advance when the pulse should arrive, so within very tiny fractions of a second.
Of course, it takes people like Tommy and Joe to think about these things, but it also takes instruments like Arecibo.
Yes, indeed. The rest of my statement was going to be, in all of those cases where we've thought we have seen that sort of a sudden discontinuity or the fact that, say, the signals from this pulsar were arriving at the wrong time, it always turned out to be something like we had forgot, we were observing in the third week of January, and we had forgotten that civil time had had a leap second on the 1st of January. You remember that those things happen from time to time, and you read about it in the papers, and all right, well. So the times are kept on civil time, not on real atomic time.
Take calipers of high quality that can measure 10 to the minus 4 of a centimeter, and put them across a 10 kilometer object, and observe that there's a error. Now that's a fantastic measure.
Any other questions? If not, we have a reception on the 6th floor of the Space Access building to celebrate Joe's talk honoring Tommy. Those of you who can come, please, you are welcome. Thank you, Joe, again.